Well, as we continue chatting with Dr. Jim Hart about forgiveness, we're going to take your calls as well. And don't forget, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com and also biocybernaut.com/bonus. We'll get you a copy of his free book, The Art of Smart Thinking, that you can watch and read online. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. James Hart with us. Jim, what do you tell people who tell you, I can't forgive everything?
Oh, well, I say, that's who you are now. But remember, when you change your brainwaves with the BioCybernaut Alpha Training Program, you change who you are. You change your identity, and you become a person who can forgive, who can be smarter, who can be happier. And yes, of course, who you are right now can't forgive. But you can very easily become a person who has that benefit and many more.
Why can't you change your brainwaves without forgiving?
Oh, well, there is a way, and it's done in Zen. Now, our process produces the same brain, in 7 days, produces the same brainwave changes as in advanced Zen, which in Japan takes 21 to 40 years. So we can produce the same brainwave changes.
40 years?
Yeah. A study done by Kasumatsu and Harai with two branches of Zen, Soto and Rinzai, they went to the Zen masters, asked for permission to measure the brainwaves on the monks, and they found a range of brainwaves, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Nobody was rated advanced with less than 21 years of Zen, and some had 40 years. We can produce, or we can teach you how to produce those exact same changes in just 7 days using the technology. At one time, I had the privilege of training a Zen master, Ruho Yamada Roshi. And at the end of his brainwave training, I'm going to talk to you about forgiveness in him. At the end of his brainwave training, he said in broken English, BioCybernaut better than having own Zen master. And I go, Ruho, how can you say that? You're a Zen master. And he goes, look, you have Zen master busy. Have many student. You sit, you meditate, you have attainment. Master busy, not noticed. Next day, master see you different. Give you feedback, one eyebrow go up little. At BioCybernaut, feedback all the time. And then he repeated, BioCybernaut better than having own Zen master from the mouth of a Zen master. Okay, so now when he was introduced to forgiveness, it was absolutely novel to him because Japan is a shame-based culture. They don't have the Christian concept of forgiveness there. And so I said, well, what do you do? He says, well, when we meditate and we have a problem, we expand our consciousness or we try to expand our consciousness bigger so that the problem is a smaller percentage of the total, but we don't know how to make it go away. He said, forgiveness makes the problem go away.
Do you have this ability to forgive everything?
Well, in fact, some of my staff and colleagues say, Jim, you're too forgiving. That person has done, you know, really bad things to you, cheated you, stole from you, and whatever, and you forgive them. And I go, well, maybe you could look at it as a gift rather than a problem.
I still couldn't forgive Ted Bundy if he did something to a family member. I couldn't do it.
Well, what's the value of holding on to anger?
You know what? Maybe it makes you feel better.
Oh, well, I think it's like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die.
Interesting take. Let's take some calls for you. This hour is going to fly by, and we'll get your website out again.
I want to compliment you on your commercials. I love your commercials. I learned so much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. They're great people. Let's go first. Who's up next? Let's go to Lance in Sunland, California to get things started. Lance, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. It's a wonderful show as usual.
Thank you.
Just a quick comment. I noticed a lot of the people in my life have been, not everybody has been wronged in a huge way or had a family member killed, but there are videos of people that have forgiven their killers. The victims will forgive the killer, you know, and let's not forget the ultimate forgiveness of Jesus Christ, you know, forgiving the people crucifying him. But recently, you know, I think I've had many thousands of dollars of things stolen from me, and I tend to hold on to things like a lot of people do. But recently, I lost a pretty big item that could have changed a lot of things in my life. And And I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to start forgiving everybody too, because if we put too much stock into our chase of money, even on a smaller scale, if we put so much stock into these items and possessions and shoes and clothes and bigger and better and more and a better, you know, we keep chasing this. And if we think about it, what if there was no humanity left? What if humanity became extinct and you were the only one left on the planet? You can go out there and get whatever items you want. You can have the Mona Lisa hanging in your house. You can get whatever possessions you want. You can live like a king. How long would you be happy for with no other humans on Earth? And I think to myself, you know, I just lost my mom recently, and I think I would give everything I own plus $1 billion just to have one more day with her.
Yeah, I get it.
And, you know, and if each of us humans embrace each other more and not chase these possessions and items and yes, forgiveness is of the utmost importance. And, you know, a wonderful show, gentlemen. And if we can all forgive and just love one another and forget the possessions, it would be a utopia, you know. And if we could, you know, let's just put all of our stuff in a museum and let it belong to all of us.
Thank you, Lance. What do you think of that, Jim?
Well, Lance, that's really wonderful. And let me speak to your saying Jesus Christ told us to forgive. In fact, let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive us as we forgive those who forgive, who trespass against us. So basically what you're asking is for God to forgive you as you forgive, only as much as you forgive others who trespass against you. And if you have a withhold in anything that you're going to forgive, then you, in the Lord's Prayer, you ask God not to forgive you fully. Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. There isn't any limit on the egregiousness of the offense that would stop you from forgiving if you want God's forgiveness.
How much of this is also the teachings of Jesus, Jill?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Many times Christian fundamentalists will come through the training, and we have trained Jewish, Buddhist, Islamic people.
All walks of life.
All walks of life. And the Christians will say, oh, I'm so glad you have a faith-based training. And I look at them, I say, well, It didn't come from faith. It came from science. It came from practicality. What I observed over tens of thousands of sessions is that when people successfully forgave, their lives got better. Their alpha waves went up. They became smarter. They became more creative. They became more emotionally intelligent. Everything in their life improved when they forgave.
Interesting take. First-time caller Eric in Indianapolis. Welcome, Eric. Go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you today?
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, good. Hey, I got a question, kind of a double-sided question, I guess it would be. How does the jury or a judge, when they pass a verdict on a prisoner, even the prisoner, how would he forgive them for sending him to prison? Or how do they think?
Well, that's an interesting take, Jim. What do you think?
Well, if, as a juror or as a judge, you have a duty to uphold the law. And when you forgive, it doesn't mean that you can't do your duty. You can sentence somebody as a judge, or you can convict them as a juror for whatever crime they've been accused of, if you, you know, based on the evidence.
Right, like some of those examples you cited the last hour.
Yes, and in your heart, you want to forgive, because that way you don't carry the burden of shame or guilt or sorrow or whatever.
When a family is witnessed, let's say they have a family member who was killed, and they go to the execution, we've seen television shows where, you know, they're sitting there watching what's going on. Are they forgiving? What are they doing? Why are they there?
Well, that's a good question, and it could be all across the map. Maybe they want to see justice done. Ideally,
you can forgive and still see justice done, can't you?
Absolutely, yes. Forgiveness does not mean you make the crime correct. Right.
Well, let me ask you this: if the person got the death penalty,
yes,
and you forgive them for what they did, murdering your family member. Is it still okay to want them to be killed?
Well, let's look at the word want, okay? Because we teach engaged indifference, which is do everything you can to achieve the desired outcome, and then be indifferent as to whether it happens at all. So you can see justice being done without having any personal attachment to the result. Just this person killed, they were accused, they were convicted, the sentence is provided, and now they're being executed. That's all a matter of justice. And there doesn't have to be an attitude about it, either sadness, I wish it wasn't happening, or joy, it is happening. You're healthiest psychologically and spiritually if you forgive and you see justice being done in a dispassionate way.
Interesting take. The whole thing's strange, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange, but it's very powerful and very effective. And I might want to add here that for the listeners, there is a way that you can tune in to very inspired spiritual work, which includes forgiveness, by tuning into Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith's Agape. Every Sunday they have meditations, they have services, they can be available online live streaming at agapelive.com. And Reverend Dr. Sir Michael Bernard Beckwith just last week was here doing his Alpha 5 training. Of their 24 levels of Alpha, and he was doing his Alpha 5. And as inspired as he is and as powerful a spiritual being as he was able to take the forgiveness to new levels. And the thing is, in Alpha, your memory can go out into the vast storehouse of even things that were forgotten and bring back incidents all the way back to childhood so you can really clean up your act. And by the way, this is why you can be so much more creative in Alpha, because your brain can pull in bits of information that you learned long ago and forgot and assemble them in a novel way in order to solve a creative problem.
Can you forgive and still be a good soldier and go off to war, let's say?
Absolutely, because it's a soldier's duty.
But isn't that a conflict with what you're doing? I mean,
in what way, George?
Well,
why do you think it's a conflict?
You're there to forgive your enemy, let's say, yet you have to be there to kill them.
That's right.
It sounds like a double-edged sword.
Well, I, for example, one time moved my technology to a secret army base where they were training U.S. Army Green Berets, and I had the privilege, the extraordinary privilege, of training two 12-man teams of U.S. Army Green Berets.
And they're tough guys.
They are super tough guys. One of them had the brainwave pattern for seeing angels, and when I had a private interview with each one of them, I looked at his brainwaves, I looked at him, big, you know, skinhead killer dude sitting across the desk from me, and I asked him, I said, do you talk to beings that other people don't see? And it was like I'd hit him with a 2x4. He went back in his chair, almost tipped over, he's having a panic attack, almost, you know, hyperventilating. He goes, how do you know? And I said, well, I see it in your brainwaves. And he goes, well, how do you know? He said, I've only told my best buddy on pain of death if he would ever tell anybody. How do you know? And I said, well, you have the brainwave pattern that we call the seeing angels brainwave pattern.
Really? There's a brain pattern for that?
Yes, and it's learnable. And he then said, well, when he's doing his martial arts training, this old Asian martial arts master shows up and coaches him, and nobody else can see him.
That's amazing that you can tell just by the brainwave patterns.
And directly to your question, these soldiers loved the Alpha training. I mean, I loved working with the Green Berets incredibly because they had an ethos of training. They would wake up every morning determined to be better in some way at the end of the day that was relevant to their mission, strength training, martial arts, marksmanship, whatever. They loved the Alpha training so much that they persuaded me to leave the technology on the Army base for some months after the training program was over, and they had voluntary days once a week where two-thirds of them would go back and do more training because they felt it was so valuable to helping them in their mission.
Next up, let's go to Beth in Bristol, Wisconsin. Welcome to the program. Hi, Beth.
Hi, George. Good morning.
Hi there.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, I can switch.
Switch and let's hear it.
Okay, first of all, I want to say I'm very enamored and by your guest's philosophies, and it's so enlightening and validating at once.
It is. It is.
So I told Tommy that I want to talk to the guest about self-forgiveness.
Okay.
But you guys have intrigued me with all the things you've been talking about while I'm on hold. but my initial idea of forgiveness was from my little friend, Jesus Christ. But later in life, I went to college, and I learned about the sociological perspective. In other words, putting your feet in another man's shoes. So my question is if I'm able to do this and there's people around me that are not, is that another form of guilt? I mean, it's like sometimes I feel like I want to bestow the idea of being able to forgive upon people that are around me that are bitter. And it feels like I'm climbing up a wet mountain.
Do you follow that, Jim?
Totally, yeah. Beth, this is wonderful. I really appreciate you. Let me speak to some of you. You raised a number of wonderful issues. One is self-forgiveness. This is super important. And many people have more judgments against themselves than they do against others. And that really sabotages your happiness and your performance in all kinds of things, relationships, business, school. And so when you're doing the Biocybernaut forgiveness process, you know, we say you have your court, you have your judges, you bring the person in you're going to forgive, and then you charge them. Well, you make a copy of yourself. Maybe it's a copy of yourself at present age or maybe at an earlier age when you did whatever it is you want to forgive yourself for. And you do it just like it was another person. And the walking in the shoes, it's so important. In fact, this is one of those portals to a transcendent state of reality. Remember, I told you earlier in the show that when you decide to forgive, you take on the identity, briefly, of someone who's forgiving. But when you walk in somebody's shoes, you take on another perspective. Let's give you an example. You have two eyes. That allows you to have depth perception. If you only look through one eye, you can see colors and shapes, but you don't get depth perception. When you look through, the left eye view is not wrong, the right eye view is not wrong, and when you put them together and integrate them, you have this additional thing of depth. Well, when you take another person's perspective on an event that you're forgiving them for, whether it's yourself or someone else, you gain perspective, which raises your consciousness. And if you forgive 5 or 6 or 10 or 100 people, you walk in their shoes, all of a sudden you are in the way to becoming a more enlightened being because you've been able to take on multiple perspectives. Now, what about guilt? The guilt you were talking about was guilty that if you can do it and other people can't. Well, remember, just a little while ago, I told George that what we teach at BioCybernaut is engaged indifference, where you do the best you can, and then you go into indifference as a result. Because what does worrying about it do? It doesn't make the result happen more likely. All it does is upset you. Engaged indifference. Do the best you can, and then don't stress about the results. Well, I have a mission here to enlighten as many people as I can and to reduce suffering for as many people as we can. And the BioCybernaut mission is to usher in an enduring golden age. So I share freely with people. Sometimes people aren't ready to hear. Sometimes they can't understand what I'm saying. But I still say it anyway. So when you share what you want to share with these others, do it from a perspective of engaged indifference. Have love in your heart. You're not making them wrong. You're just sharing with them a way to be happier and more fulfilled.
Give out your website, if you would, and the free digital edition of your book, The Art of Smart Thinking. Go ahead.
BioCybernaut.com/bonus. And you go to a landing page and you sign up for the newsletter, which will come out and inform you of all cool events, maybe specials. But you can also then sign up to get a free digital copy of my book, The Art of Smart Thinking, which at one point was number 3 on Amazon.
Excellent. Jim, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with final calls with Dr. Jim Hart in just a moment as we talk about forgiveness on our next Coast to Coast program. Richard Dolan joins us to talk about UFOs and the planned government announcement of whatever they may be. And then ghost hunter Marianne Winkowski joins us. She speaks to the other side, so I'm looking forward to that program, too. And welcome back. George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Jim Hart. Our final segment, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Also with the /bonus, gets you his digital edition of The Art of Smart Thinking. That's a neat book, too, by the way, Jim.
Thanks, George.
Let's go to our final calls. Let's go to Kiri in Oceanside, California. Kiri, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you, Dr. Jim. Thank you, George. I appreciate you having this program this evening.
Thank you.
I guess my question is this. In regards to forgiveness, my father died a long time ago, well, about 12 years ago, and he didn't really live the type of life that I would want me as a father to have. So he was a bad example. As a matter of fact, he basically said, if you take my life as an example of what not to be, not what to be. So I don't think he ever forgave himself. But now that he's dead and gone, there's apathy for me because I don't really care about forgiving him or anything like that. But the issue is his mother is still alive, my grandmother.
Wow.
And I haven't really, and I know it took years off of her life to watch this man do the things that he did because she raised him. And I know that she never envisioned or even thought that he would become the type of person that he became. So I think the issue with forgiveness is forgiving her or maybe not even really wanting to have a relationship with her because she raised this person and I'm a father. So, and my son, by God's grace, are doing good. They're what I would have been if I would have had what they had, which is basically a loving environment. I don't fault my father on that, and I don't fault my mother on that, but I'm not really going out of my way to engage in a relationship with my father's mother because in my mind, I'm wondering what in the world happened that you could have, that this man could have made the decisions that he made that have impacted the lives of so many people. I just would like for you to maybe.
And I bet, Kerry, in a strange way, your father made you a better father for yourself.
That is exactly. Somebody has to step up to the plate and take one for the team. And what I took was the responsibility to make sure that my sons never have to go through the feeling of wondering if their father even loves them. Because I think love is a very, very important concept with forgiveness as well, too.
Absolutely. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
First of all, Kerry, it's really wonderful that you would open up and share so fully about this dynamic within your family. I hadn't mentioned before, but we do have special discounts for parents bringing their children to the training for forgiveness. Now, you said you were in apathy, and because of your relationship with your father, you're, quote, not going out of my way to have a relationship with my father's mother. Well, that probably deprives your son of the opportunity to have a meaningful and nurturing relationship with his great-grandmother. And so when you do forgiveness on your father, one, you'll come out of apathy, and that will benefit the whole perspective of everything you do in your life, because apathy is a low energy, and it spreads into other areas of your life. So I told a story earlier about the man who was apathetic, and a couple of days into the training, he started to feel something. He felt depressed, and I jumped up and cheered. And then I said, you're going to go on up into anger, and as you work, then you'll discover what you're afraid of, and you go through that, and then you'll be able to live in joy. And so part of the forgiveness process is where you look, after you've decided to forgive, you look for a gift or a lesson. Now, you may not find a gift in this case with your father, but you've certainly found a lesson already, which is don't be like that. And so that's very powerful. And to the extent you can go through and forgive him, now, people have free will. For example, and blaming, as you didn't say you consciously were doing it, but you were blaming your father's mother for the way he turned out. One time I had somebody in training who was revealed by the computerized mood scales that can detect unconscious emotions, which then helps their trainer coach them on forgiveness, and this man turned up greed. And so he made a conscious choice not to forgive himself for greed because he said, well, greed is a good business strategy and I wouldn't want to give it up. And then he went on into life operating his business with the emotion greed. So people have free will and they will do what they do. And to blame your grandmother and your son's great-grandmother for that
is to miss out on, one, opportunities for forgiveness, and for a meaningful relationship with this woman for you and for your son. What an incredible gift it could be for your son to have a relationship with his great-grandmother. What a transmission that could be. And the key is forgiveness.
You will forgive me for not forgiving everything, Jim?
Of course.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. Appreciate you being part of the program. Joe, Long Island, New York. Welcome, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hey, Jim. If you look back to the Genesis, the issue, the story of Joseph, a lot of forgiveness needed to happen there. And I think there was also reconciliation because Joseph said to his brothers, you know, this was done for a reason. God was behind it. There was also what the brothers did to the father was very harsh, saying, you know, they should have led, leading him to believe that he was dead. But also, it's interesting that he reconciled, but he also named his son Manasseh, I believe, which was the Lord made me forget my troubles. So there was a, both a forgiveness and forgetting. And also, I wonder if he was able to forgive Potiphar's wife for what she did to him, you know, because he did eventually meet another woman where he could have held it against women in general, what she did to him, having him imprisoned over, just like, you know, rejecting her advances, being that he worked for her husband and was his, you know, under, operating under his goodwill.
Hmm.
You, Joe, bring up an incredibly important word, which is reconciliation. When I was in Canada, and this philanthropist was funding the Aboriginal Scholarship Program, I trained a number of prominent chiefs and councilmen and shaman. And one of them was a Chief Willie Littlechild. He was on the truth, he was on the commissioners of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which the Canadian government set up to look into all the crimes that the culture had perpetrated against the Aboriginal people. And Chief Willie, a little child, was the first Aboriginal ever elected to the Canadian National Parliament, so he's very prominent. And he said, after his alpha training, he said, if you have been abused and you have not forgiven, you will become an abuser. So this is another reason to forgive. And you talk about reconciliation. That is possible only after forgiveness. Now, you also mentioned the word forget. We don't want you to forget. You can forgive, but don't forget, because this, whatever happened, needs to be a part of your database with no emotional charge. You've taken that off so that you can wisely use that information to guide others and yourself in order to not make those same mistakes.
Let's go to a few more calls. Thank you for that. Josie's in Joshua Tree, California. Hey, Joes, go ahead.
Hey, hi, you guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
On hold, you've actually touched on a lot of things, Jim, that I was going to bring up, but I just want to make a couple of points here really quickly. First of all, I really strongly believe anyone listening to this broadcast right now is actually getting a blessing, because you are so on point with everything you're saying, especially as it's related to health and non-forgiving.
Thank you, Josie.
Also,
you bring tears to my eyes for saying that. Thank you.
But it's true. If you're tuning in right now, you're supposed to hear this for a reason, and I've been there. I've had people come to me in the past asking me to help them how they should forgive, and a method, if I may share, that I've also used, and by the way, I'm going to buy your books because I love what you've said so far, and I've never thought about those techniques before, and I'm going to start using them, but I've also tried myself to pray for the other person, and that can be hard. Sometimes you have to go in with prayer and ask for God to do everything for that person that maybe you don't even have yourself, and I've notice a lot of people struggle with that because they want to hold on to the anger.
Yes.
Like you said, too, it will make you sick. I have seen it. That is true. And I think, you know, it's you don't have to always do it for the other person. I love that judge and jury synopsis, because I'm going to start using that. But it really does harm the other person. I just thank you so much for everything that you're sharing. Like I said, anyone listening, this is a blessing for you right now if you're paying attention. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Josie, for taking it to heart.
Jim, stand up and take a bow. Well done.
Thanks, Josie.
Next up, let's take a couple more calls. We've got some time. Bill in Los Angeles, welcome. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm really glad to hear your skepticism coming through. As a fellow journalist, I've got a lot of problems with deprogramming people's emotions, but I think it's an empirical fact that people's inability to get revenge when it's justified causes depression. And I'm glad he mentioned the Japanese culture, because one of my favorite movies is a movie called Freeze Me by Takeshi Ishii, and starring Harumi Inoue. And she methodically gets revenge on these thugs who raped her, and she kills every one of them. And I've watched it like 25 times, and it's just thrilling, and it's a great feeling. So revenge is sweet. You know, that's all there is to it.
Get your reaction to that. What do you think, Jim? Thanks, Bill.
Well, I would say it's a cheap high.
It might be.
Yeah. It's a cheap high, and it is not something that has enduring value. And you certainly can't build a spiritual life. You can't build a thriving culture. You can't build an advanced consciousness on revenge. Whereas Jesus is hanging on the cross, and instead of asking for revenge, and he had the power to call down thunderbolts, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So there are things, I've never experienced heroin, but I've trained heroin addicts, and they were able to get off of heroin, and they said, it's a high. It's an incredible high. Just like you're saying, revenge is a high, but it's incredibly destructive.
Next up, let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Ed. Go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi there.
I would come back with another Japanese, the greatest, one of the two or three best books I've ever read, The Art of Peace by Osawa, the father of macrobiotics, who told MacArthur when he asked him, you need to get rid of the secret police here and so forth. But I wanted to call and mention, and by the way, I use the Lord's Prayer thing a lot. Forgive me my sins, and I bet 90% don't get the rest of the sentence. But there's a lot of truth. I got a question I want to ask you, but first I was going to mention a woman in the tribe Tutsi or something, where they killed 1 million of them in 4 months or something. And they came to her village, and her and 14 family members were told, if you want to pay us for a bullet, we'll shoot you to death, or you either got to choose a sword or to be killed with a blunt object. She took a blunt object, and they hit her upside of the head with a shovel or something. Anyway, they were, thrown in a little burial, shallow burial, and she lived, and someone heard her moaning, and she came to America, became a Christian, and she wanted to go back. She had headaches and all, but she wanted to go back. They caught she found the killers were in a jail over there, and she went back to Africa and to forgive her killer, which to me is that to me would be very, very, very hard. And I used Art of Peace because I wanted to forgive someone that, and it's one thing to say you're going to forgive someone and another thing to really, really do it and feel love towards them. But the question I want to ask you, Jim, and I love what you've talked about, is like the last girl said, is there was a mind control, which not a good mind control by Jose Silva many, many decades ago. He was really followed, especially in South America.
Silva mind control.
Yeah, but it was a good mind control, and he learned way back before there was much electrical thinking and all, that when you close your eyes, you do change your brain wave. And I was wondering if you were familiar with him at all.
Minute left, Jim, go ahead.
Say again?
Got a minute left. Go ahead.
Okay. Early on, when I was a teacher at Carnegie Mellon,
I was asked by Silva to check out one of their trainings. And at then, they were teaching people to close their eyes, move their eyes back and forth, left and right, thinking it would make more alpha. Well, it doesn't. They had misread the studies on REM. Now, I understand they've learned and they've done more things. Yes, closing the eyes, as long as you don't move them, will make more alpha. And that's why almost all meditation and prayer is done eyes closed, because you have more alpha.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, give out your website one more time, sir.
www.biocybernaut.com/bonus. And biocybernaut is to inner space what astronaut is to outer space.
Super. Jim, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it.
It's been a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
You take care of yourself and good luck with yourself. It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, I could forgive lots of things and lots of people, but I could not forgive someone who outly goes out to hurt somebody. I just couldn't forgive that. Anyways, we got a great program for you tomorrow and all week long, so stick with us on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Ryan Stacey, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.